The Father has life in himself. Introduction. Jesus gives a profound statement in John chapter 5 verse 26. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son also to have life in himself. John chapter 5 verse 26. This verse is not a passing comment. It is one of the clearest windows into what makes Jesus unique, what distinguishes the Father from the life that is in him, and how the Son can possess that same life in himself without God's life becoming a divided or transferable object. The sentence is compact, but every phrase carries weight. Jesus speaks of the Father, not merely God, in a generic way. He speaks of life, not merely existence or biological aliveness. He speaks of that life being in himself, not outside God, beside God, above God, or stored somewhere as a heavenly possession. He then says the Father has granted the Son also to have life in himself. John chapter 5 verse 26 raises several questions that must be answered carefully. What is this life? Who is the Father who has this life in himself? Who is the Son who is granted to have this life in himself? And how can the Father grant the Son to have life in himself if divine life is not a divisible object that God can hand over like a possession? The verse is not teaching that God carries life as though it were a detachable substance. It is not saying God has a spiritual item hidden in himself that he distributes in portions. Nor is it reducing life to a metaphor with no real ontological meaning. The language is stronger and more precise than that. The Father has life in himself, which means the life is inward to God, inseparable from God, and yet distinguishable in the sentence from the Father who has it. This is why John chapter 5 verse 26 must be read slowly. The verse reveals that divine life is not merely something God gives. It is first something the Father has in himself. It then reveals that the Son is not merely a prophet, messenger, or obedient man, because the Son is granted to have that same life in himself. The uniqueness of Jesus is grounded in this reality. He has life in himself because the Father grants him to have life in himself. Thesis. The life in John chapter 5 verse 26 is not biological life. Ordinary existence, or an object God possesses externally. It is the inward divine life of God, rooted in God's own spirit. The Father has life in himself because the Father names God as the personal divine, I, God as soul, and God's own spirit is inward to him as his life source. The Son is granted to have life in himself because God, by his spirit, gives his own form as the spiritual element in Jesus's emergence. This does not divide God's form, reduce God's form, localize God's form, or change God's form into something created. It means God's own form is truly present as the spiritual infrastructure of the Son. Since God's own Spirit dwells in his form, the life of God is truly present in Jesus from his beginning. This is what makes Jesus the Son in the literal divine human sense. And this is why he is the one human who has life in himself. Part 1. What is the life? The first question raised by John chapter 5 verse 26 is the meaning of life. Jesus says the Father has life in himself, but the word cannot be treated as though it simply means biological aliveness. Scripture already distinguishes between being physically alive and being spiritually dead. Paul says, "And you were dead in the trespasses and sins." Ephesians chapter 2 verse 1. The people Paul describes were not physically dead. They were breathing, walking, thinking, choosing, eating, and living ordinary human lives. Yet Paul says they were dead because spiritual death is not the absence of biological function. It is separation from the life of God. This distinction is necessary for understanding John chapter 5 verse 26. If human beings can be biologically alive and spiritually dead, then the life Jesus speaks of cannot mean ordinary creaturely existence. The Father does not merely possess a higher quantity of the same life creatures possess. The life in the Father is divine life, the life that belongs uniquely to God himself. John's Gospel repeatedly uses life in this deeper sense. Jesus says, "I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." John chapter 10 verse 10. He also says, "I am the resurrection and the life." John chapter 11 verse 25. John later explains the purpose of his gospel by saying, "These are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." John chapter 20 verse 31. In these passages, life is not merely the continuation of existence. It is divine life, the life that overcomes spiritual death and brings humanity into living union with God. This means life in John chapter 5 verse 26 cannot be reduced to a metaphor. It is not a decorative religious word. It also cannot be understood as a material or spiritual object that God possesses externally. Jesus does not say the Father has life next to himself, above himself, or available to himself. He says the Father has life in himself. The location matters because it identifies life as inward to God. Paul gives a helpful scriptural analogy when he says, "For who knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of that person, which is in him? So also no one comprehends the things of God except the Spirit of God." 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 11. The spirit of a man is in the man. It is inward to him and belongs to his inner reality. Paul then speaks of the Spirit of God in relation to God. The Spirit of God is not outside God as a detached agent. The Spirit of God is God's own Spirit, inward to God and belonging to God. Therefore, when Jesus says the Father has life in himself, the life points to God's own Spirit, his inward divine life source. This does not mean the Spirit of God is a separate person beside the Father. It means God's Spirit is God's own inner Spirit, the living reality of God's own life. The life is not an object God carries. It is not an item God distributes. It is not divine loose change. The life is the inward divine life of God, rooted in God's own Spirit. Part 2. Who is the Father who has life in himself? The second question raised by John chapter 5 verse 26 is the identity of the Father. Jesus does not simply say, "God has life in himself." He says, "The Father has life in himself." John chapter 5 verse 26. That distinction matters because Father language is personal, relational, and source-oriented. The Father is the one who sends, gives, loves, judges, raises, and grants. In this verse, the Father is the one who has life in himself and grants the Son to have life in himself. The Father is not a loose synonym for God that can be exchanged without loss of meaning. The term identifies God as the personal divine, the living subject who has life inwardly and who grants the Son to share that life inwardly. The Father is the personal source, the divine subject, the one from whom the Son receives. This is why the word Father must not be rushed past as though it merely means God in a general sense. The wording of John chapter 5 verse 26 creates a real distinction. The Father has life in himself. That means the Father is distinguishable from the life that is in him. Yet the life is not outside him, which means the distinction is not separation. The Father and the life are not collapsed into one undifferentiated label, but neither are they divided. The Father is the one who has the life, and the life is inward to him. This distinction becomes clearer when Scripture's broader revelation of God is considered. Scripture does not present God as flesh. Isaiah says, "The Egyptians are man and not God, and their horses are flesh and not spirit." Isaiah chapter 31 verse 3. Jesus says plainly, "God is spirit." John chapter 4 verse 24. "God is not flesh. God is spirit." Yet this does not mean God is an undefined spiritual blur. Scripture speaks of God as living, personal, ordered, and active. God speaks, wills, creates, reveals, acts by his Spirit, and is described through form language. Genesis opens with God as the acting subject. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Genesis chapter 1 verse 1. Immediately afterward, Scripture says, "And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters." Genesis chapter 1 verse 2. Then God speaks, "And God said, let there be light, and there was light." Genesis chapter 1 verse 3. From the beginning, Scripture reveals God, God's Spirit, and God's speech without dividing God into separate beings. God remains the one acting subject, but his Spirit and his speech are not erased into a flat statement that says only, God, with no distinction. Other passages give the same pattern through revelatory designators. Psalm chapter 33 verse 6 says, "By the word of Yahweh the heavens were made, and by the breath of his mouth all their host." Psalm chapter 33 verse 6. This is not crude literalism, as though God were being reduced to creaturely anatomy. But it is also not empty metaphor. Scripture speaks this way to reveal something real about God's own living reality. Yahweh acts as one subject, yet his word, his breath, and his mouth are distinguishable in the language of the text. Scripture also speaks explicitly of God's form. God says of Moses, "With him I speak mouth to mouth, clearly, and not in riddles, and he beholds the form of Yahweh." Numbers chapter 12 verse 8. Jesus says, "You have neither heard his voice at any time nor seen his form." John chapter 5 verse 37. This means God is not flesh, but neither is God a featureless abstraction. God has a form, and because God is spirit, his form is his own spiritual body. God's form is not a created body, not a temporary mask, not a second person, and not an independent agent beside God. It is God's own eternal form, the real spiritual structure through which God reveals, speaks, appears, creates, and gives himself. This leads to the necessary distinction. The Father names God as soul, the personal divine, I. God's form is his own spiritual body, the structure through which he reveals and gives himself. God's spirit is his own inner spirit, the inward divine life source. These are not parts of God, because God is not assembled from pieces. They are not modes, because God is not shifting from one role into another. They are not separate persons, because Scripture presents one God acting as one living subject. They are real, simultaneous, inseparable aspects of the one living God. Aspectival monotheism affirms this scriptural distinction by recognizing God as one spirit being who is soul, has his own form, and has his own spirit. These are not competing centers of consciousness, divine roles, or separable entities. They are the real, simultaneous, and inseparable aspects of the one divine identity. John chapter 5 verse 26 fits this structure. The Father has life in himself. The Father is God as the personal divine, I, God as soul. The life in him points to God's own spirit. The life is inward to the Father, yet distinguishable from the Father who has it. This is distinction without separation. Part 3. Who is the Son who is granted life in himself? The third question raised by John chapter 5 verse 26 is the identity of the Son. Jesus says the Father has granted the Son also to have life in himself. This means the Son is not merely a title, nickname, or office. Sonship must be understood according to origin. A son is one who comes forth from a father in a real relation of life, source, and identity. This is why Jesus cannot be understood as unique merely because he obeyed God, was sent by God, spoke God's words, or carried divine authority. Prophets obeyed God. Prophets were sent by God. Prophets spoke God's words. Prophets carried divine authority. Yet prophets were not granted to have life in themselves. Jesus is unique because his sonship is grounded in his emergence from the Father's direct action. To understand this, Scripture first gives the pattern of human emergence in Genesis chapter 2 verse 7. Then Yahweh God formed the man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living soul. Genesis chapter 2 verse 7. This verse does not describe a finished human machine receiving detachable parts. It describes the coming into being of a living soul being through the union of a physical element and a spiritual element. The dust of the ground names the visible, earth-derived physical element. The breath of life names the spiritual, life-bearing element involved in man's emergence. When the physical element and the spiritual element are united, the man becomes a living soul. This is the formation pattern of human existence. Human multiplication then continues through father and mother. The physical element is passed through human generation involving both. Yet Scripture's genealogy and seed logic identifies the fatherly line as the line through which the Adamic spiritual element is transmitted. The mother is fully involved in human generation, especially in relation to the physical element, but the spiritual element identified by the breath of life follows the fatherly line. Genesis says that Adam fathered a son in his own likeness, after his image. Genesis chapter 5 verse 3. This fatherly line logic matters because the son comes forth in Adam's likeness and image, not merely as a biological continuation, but as the continuation of the Adamic human condition. Paul speaks from this same pattern when he says, "Sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men." Romans chapter 5 verse 12. In this context, sin is not merely the performance of bad acts. It is the Adamic condition of life turned away from God, attempting to produce, sustain, and define life apart from God. Death comes through sin because separation from God's life leaves the human spiritual infrastructure dead, unable to receive and live from divine life. Death spreads to all because the dead Adamic spiritual element is transmitted through the fatherly line. This is why human beings can be physically alive and spiritually dead. Jesus is different because Jesus has no human father. Paul says, "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of woman." Galatians chapter 4 verse 4. Jesus is truly born of woman. Mary provides the physical element. He is not pretending to be human, and he is not a divine visitor merely wearing a body. He is a real human soul being. Yet because he has no human father, the dead Adamic spiritual element is not passed to him through the paternal line. Luke records the angel's explanation to Mary. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Luke chapter 1 verse 35. The angel identifies divine action. God acts by His Spirit. The Father gives His own form as the spiritual element in Jesus's emergence. This means Jesus is fully human in body, soul and spirit, yet His spiritual infrastructure is not grounded in Adamic spiritual element. It is grounded in God's own form. This is what makes Jesus the Son in the literal divine human sense. He is Son not merely by title, appointment, or mission, but by origin. His human existence begins from Mary according to the physical element and from the Father according to the spiritual element. The Father's own form is given as the spiritual infrastructure of the Son. Therefore, Jesus is the Son because His emergence is grounded in the Father's own divine reality. Part 4. How can the Son be granted indivisible life? The deepest tension in John chapter 5 verse 26 is the word granted. Jesus says the Father granted the Son also to have life in Himself. If life were an object, this would be easy to imagine. God would simply transfer the object. But the life in the Father is not an object. It is God's own inward life, rooted in God's own Spirit. God's Spirit is not divisible. God's life cannot be cut into portions. God does not hand out His inward life as though it were a detachable thing. Therefore, granted, cannot mean that God divided His Spirit or transferred a separate substance called life into Jesus. The Father grants the Son to have life in Himself by giving His own form as the spiritual element in Jesus's emergence. Since God's own Spirit dwells in His form, the life of God is truly present in the Son from His beginning. This language must be handled carefully. When God gives His form is not divided, partitioned, reduced, localized, trapped, restricted, or modified. God's form remains God's own eternal, uncreated, boundless spiritual body. The giving of God's form means God's own form is truly present as the spiritual element in the emergence of Jesus without ceasing to be God's form and without undergoing change. This is not a transfer from one external location to another. Creation is not outside God in a neutral space where God must move pieces of Himself into it. Creation exists in God's form, and God acts by His Spirit through His form. Therefore, the giving of God's form in the emergence of Jesus is an internal divine act of will, not a division of God's being. The Son has life in Himself through real ontological union. Meaning the physical element from Mary and the spiritual element from God's own form unite in the emergence of Jesus as a real human soul being. This union does not mix the elements, collapse them into each other, or turn one into the other. It is the Genesis chapter 2 verse 7 emergence pattern fulfilled uniquely in the Son. The form is given without being diminished. The form is present without being confined. The form functions as the spiritual infrastructure of the Son without becoming a created spirit. Because God's own Spirit dwells in His form, the life of God is truly present in Jesus from the beginning of His human existence. This does not mean the Son possesses life independently from the Father, as though Jesus now wields divine life apart from God. The life in the Son is the Father's own life truly present in Him through God's form and by God's Spirit. The Son has life in Himself because the Father's own life is inwardly present in Him, not because divine life has become a separate possession detached from the Father. This means the Son was not granted life in Himself at His baptism. At baptism, God publicly identifies and anoints Him. The Son was not granted life in Himself at the resurrection. At resurrection, He is vindicated and revealed as the life-giving head of the new humanity. The Son was not granted life in Himself as a reward after obedience. The Son has life in Himself from His emergence, from His conception, from the beginning of His human life. From the womb, Jesus is not merely biologically alive. He is alive with the life of God. God's own Spirit dwells in God's own form, and that form is the spiritual element in Jesus's emergence. This is why the Son has life in Himself. This is also why Jesus is not merely another prophet. A prophet can speak words from God, but Jesus has life in Himself. A prophet can be sent by God, but Jesus comes into being through the Father's direct action. A prophet can carry authority, but Jesus bears divine life inwardly. A prophet can point to God, but in Jesus, God Himself is present through His form and by His Spirit. Conclusion: John chapter 5 verse 26 is a precise revelation of divine life. The Father and the Son. The life is not biological existence, ordinary aliveness, an empty metaphor, or a detachable object. It is the inward divine life of God, rooted in God's own spirit. The Father has life in himself because the Father names God as the personal divine, I, God as soul, and God's own spirit is inward to him as his life source. The Son is not merely a title or office. Jesus is Son because his emergence is grounded in the Father's direct action. Mary provides the physical element. The Father, by his Spirit, gives his own form as the spiritual element. Therefore, Jesus is the Son in the literal divine human sense, fully human in body, soul and spirit, yet his spiritual infrastructure is not grounded in Adam. The Father grants the Son to have life in himself, not by dividing his spirit or handing over an object called life, but by giving his own form as the spiritual infrastructure of the Son. Since God's own spirit dwells in his form, the life of God is truly present in Jesus from his beginning. This life is not independent from the Father, but the Father's own life truly present in the Son through ontological union. This is what makes Jesus unique. He does not merely talk about life. He does not merely point to life. He does not merely receive an external mission. He has life in himself. This is why Jesus can say earlier in the same passage, "Whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life." John chapter 5 verse 24. The Father has life in himself. The Son has life in himself. And through the Son, those who are dead pass from death to life. Igor Pagoda, Christ-Rooted, Divine Identity Theology.